be hugged. I'm still a baby. I'm just on the other end of the cycle. And now, you know, we are not trained speakers that you'll hear either on Wednesday or Sunday at our Sunday church. We're not trained speakers. We all just talk from our hearts. And we're not trained to say this because then they'll think that, and oh, and then pretty soon you scare them enough, they'll get into church every Sunday or Wednesday, as the case may be. Nope, we all just talk from our hearts. And the person that's going to share their thoughts with us this evening, I love dearly. And anybody that gets to know him loves him dearly. He's just plain good. And when he gets here, he'll just share his thoughts, and he won't be, you know, trying to impress anybody. He just stands and gently talks, and you're going to enjoy it. And most of you have already heard him before, and that's our George. Here he comes. Whoa. Our Georgie Porgy, pudding and pie.
Tell him the rest.
Kissed the girls and made them cry for more.
There you go.
Yeah, that's Georgie Porgy.
Georgie Porgy. I thought I was over that when I was in third grade. Still haunting, only here. Is this mine? What do I do with this? Okay. I probably did. So, I thought first I'd start off with a little joke. Wait a minute. Is that loud? So this atheist is walking through the woods, and all of a sudden he hears the rustling of the bushes. Out comes this big bear. And he starts running as fast as he could, and he trips and falls. And here comes the bear, and he goes, "Oh God, please save me." All of a sudden, everything, time and space, stop. The creek quits running and everything, and he hears this big voice. And the voice says, "You want me to save you? You've denied that I even exist your whole life. You criticize me, run down to others, and now you want me to save you?" The atheist thinks for a second, and he goes, "Well, yeah, I suppose if I asked you to do that, that wouldn't be right. I'd be a hypocrite. So maybe you could make the bear a Christian." So time and space start again. Everything's going. Here comes the bear. The bear falls to his knees, puts his paws together, prays upward, and says, "Thank you, God. I'm grateful for the food I'm about to receive." Well, despite what Millie said, I am here to impress tonight because I.
He's dressed for impress.
I have some really big news to share with you, some of the biggest news of my life. You might want to think about doing it too, although it's a little radical. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I've decided to become an angel. That's right. I am now an angel, and I got to ask, have you ever seen a bigger one? Now, before you laugh too hard, did you know that you can buy angel spices, angel nuts, angel teas, you can play an angel guitar, buy an angel glockenspiel? There's a wonderful movie we used to watch with our sons called Angels in the Outfield. There are angel cards. There's the Flying Blue Angels and music. There's Angel of the Morning, Kiss an Angel Good Morning, Touched by an Angel, Fools Rush In Where Angels Fear to Tread. Thank you for sending me an angel. The last one, by the way, is from that renowned spiritual singing group, the Talking Heads. Angels are everywhere. So if angels are flying around in jets and on baseball fields and everyone is singing angel songs and I can buy angel nuts, then it can't be too nuts for me to say that I'm an angel too, right? According to the Gospel of Wikipedia, angels are in human form with a spiritual body and not just minds without form. I decided to change it a little and say that angels can also be in a human body with a spiritual form called our soul and our heart. Hopefully now I've gotten your attention because I want to talk to you about something tonight that is very important to me. and the real reason why I'm somewhat serious about what I've said. Up until 25 years ago, I never believed in God or spirit. Matter of fact, I mocked the very idea of any God or benevolent being. It was, or so I thought, so childish, so naive, so shallow. How often we project onto others the truth about ourselves. Because what I didn't know then was that I was pretty childish, shallow, naive, and above all, pretty cynical. 38 years ago, I acknowledged I was an alcoholic, although I seldom call myself that, and discovered shortly after that I had repressed some pretty bad things that had happened to me when I was a child. I hid it from myself through alcohol and anything else I could find. I've talked about all this before, that the repression deeply influenced my thinking and my life's perspective. While the healing I've experienced once I gave up the earlier part of my life has been and continues to be a miracle, the repression became depression and has always been there. As I have said, I've talked about these things before, but I believe we all go through something, and I think it's important to talk about them. And that's why I always use myself as an example. Depression has always been with me until I began to believe God is everything. God is all there is. That's right. As Millie said, if you wanted to see who God is, go outside and watch a tree grow. And we are all part of God, and as Millie also says, we are bubbles of God. And this is what I have come to understand, that God dwells within me. While I have known this for years intellectually in my mind, I've begun to know it in my heart. The truth of the matter, because I am part of God, and God is love, then so am I. While on the surface in my mind there is sometimes sadness and depression, beneath it, in the still waters of my heart and soul, there is joy, there is good, there is God. Always there, always waiting for me. I never really knew this. I never really felt this. I read a quote not too long ago by a gentleman named Ernest Holmes, who started a religious philosophy over 100 years ago called Science of Mind. He wrote that the Bible starts with Adam as a type of man and ends with Christ as another, two possibilities latent in all of us. In Adam we die and in Christ we live. Adam and Christ are not two different people, but merely representations of the dual possibility, the potential in all of us. This quote is very personal to me and has deep meaning. I have adapted it to fit the story of my own life because I certainly began my life as a mortal man, and I'm working hard to evolve into becoming a spiritual one. It reflects the possibility and the potential in me, and which I know lies in all of us. What I call meditation for me now is largely reminding myself that I am part of God, and going to that place within me where God is, because God is the joy and love and the good. I know truly that God has always been, will always be within me. Words cannot describe the impact this knowing is having on my life. I have a new home. It's like discovering you've been getting up on the wrong side of the bed every day of your life, and it's always dark, sometimes with very little light. Then discovering when you get up on the other side of the bed, it can always be a beautiful day. On the other hand, this knowing that we are part of God is a tricky one. It's much easier for us to know it when we're in church or at home in a quiet place, but it is so easy to forget because of this messy thing called the human experience. It brings up that age-old question raised by a priest in the early 20th century who was ostracized by his own Catholic Church for most of his life. Are we human beings on a spiritual journey or spiritual beings on a human one? He thought it was the latter. What does it mean to be a spiritual being on a human journey? I think most of the world has never even thought about this. The idea that we are part of God is very hard for us to accept. It's not so easy. It was very hard for the Catholic Church to accept this even from one of its own. It's hard to accept because our human experience gets in the way. As some of you know, I studied for a few years to become a spiritual counselor. One of the things we studied is called the four levels of consciousness, which dates back centuries. Imagine a box, a big box, a square, and inside the box there are four smaller squares. The lower left is the lower level of consciousness. It's called victimhood. Everything that happens to me is someone else's fault. I am where I am because of what my parents did to me, or my girlfriend did to me, or my dog bit me, or whatever. The box just above the victimhood is responsibility. Taking responsibility for myself, taking responsibility for my life. Sometimes there are going to be storms in my life. It's up to me to learn how to dance in the rain. The next box is knowing that God is with me, and all that love is there for me, supporting me, guiding me, if I only listen. Finally, there is knowing we are all one, that we are all part of God, that everything is God. So matter how evolved we think we are, we all dance back and forth between these different levels of consciousness. It's easier to be a victim often than to know you are part of God while assuming responsibility for your life. I've talked about before a woman named Sharon Abbott. 35 years ago, she was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Her life was bed, braces, and wheelchairs until 3 years ago when she found out that she'd been misdiagnosed. Now she's climbing mountains and running in her backyard with her children. She believed her story, and we all have one. She believed what wasn't true about her. Depending on how we were raised, we don't always know the truth about who we really are, which impacts our level of consciousness. We don't know that we came into this earth plane as a perfect spark of God. We don't always know we are here on a spiritual journey. I certainly thought, I was here on a human one, and oh, what a journey it's been. And we didn't know this truth about ourselves. Please hear this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. This was written by Marianne Williamson and later became part of the inaugural address by Nelson Mandela when he was named president of South Africa. So our human side and the life we have lived, our story often keeps us down and limits our potential. It's also caused me to look at the whole idea of God, religion, and spirituality a little differently. Because the idea that we're all part of God, ironically to me, sort of compasses all religions. Listen to this. Before you speak to me about your religion, first show it to me in how you treat other people. Before you tell me how much you love your God, show me in how much you love all of his children. Before you preach to me of your passion for your faith, teach me about it through your compassion for your neighbors. In the end, I'm not as interested in what you have to tell or sell as I am in how you choose to live and give. Believe it or not, this was written by a politician, a current U.S. senator by the name of Mr. Cory Booker. So in other words, this idea of knowing that we are part of God can again be pretty tricky. After all, who am I to say that I'm part of God? Who do I think I am anyway? But if everything is God, everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, the rocks, the plants and trees, babies crying, and creeks and streams running, then how can I not be part of spirit of God too? And when I think about being part of God, whenever I feel that I am part of God, there is never any depression, never any sadness, just pure joy. But because the human side of me still has trouble with the divine part, can I imagine that I'm an angel? And I definitely want, which I kind of see as being one of God's workers, and I would definitely want to be that too. I want to be in a human body with a spiritual form, my heart and soul helping others. So I want to ask you all a question. Who here wants to be an angel with me? Because I am now one by the powers granted to me. I am empowered to grant you your temporary angel wings. those of you who want to be angels, I want to ask you to close your eyes for a minute and imagine you are sitting in the stillness, in the sacred beauty and silence of God. Any worries you have are now drifting away. You are in awe, knowing that you are part of God. You are realizing your greatest self. Now, little by little, you feel your angel wings growing, becoming bigger and bigger. They feel like a natural part of you. They are you. It is your soul speaking to you of your true nature. As you accept your wings, you know once and for all you are part of God. You are part of this infinite miracle. You are part of God's grace and love. And you know now, every time you become sad, depressed, overwhelmed, have any anxiety, all you have to do is close your eyes and imagine your angel wings. And you see them grow and grow and grow. I promise you, it's impossible not to feel better. And just to prove you are an angel, I want you to hear these words. I see the love of God in you. The light of Christ is shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. Many of you know what's coming next. As I like to do, turn to someone sitting next to you, look into their eyes, and repeat these words. These are the words we always sing in Melody's class. First, I'm going to repeat it. Then the person on the right says it to the person on the left, and the person on the left says it to the person on the right. But I want you to really mean it. Don't be shy. Look at each other. And first, I'm going to say it again. I see the love of God in you. The light of Christ is come shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. You never listen. At any rate, I think you get the idea. So, again, with all of your angel wings and knowing that you're part of God, I want to say thank you very much for giving me your time. Thank you.